96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, June 10th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, we're going to have Open Line Monday, but I have one or two things I want to discuss, right? I'm back. I know I was missing for one or two days, and thank you very much, Aaron Green, for holding the fort down until I am come. I did promise you a goat.
Remember, I hold the fourth and you bring the fifth.
Yes.
Did you bring the fifth?
I attempted to bring the fifth. I want to say that if you go to Long Island now, mm-hmm. I don't know if the airport is at Dedman's Key. I don't remember anymore because I was going through so many different settlements. I tied the goat that I promise you at the airport, at the consular's parking space.
Is that like the administrator?
But I don't know. They all have different parking space for Long Island at the Long Island Airport. And I attempted to bring the goat on the plane, but they told me I could not. So I had to tie the goat right there.
So you don't...
So I tried to fulfill my promise.
I gave you the book that my great-grandfather wrote about selling Chikchanis to tourists and how to make the goat invisible so you could get it on the plane.
They can see the goat.
Because you didn't make it invisible.
Yes. And I've learned that curry goat and curry mutton is two different things. They taste different. I thought there was goat mutton and sheep mutton. But sheep and goat is two different animals.
I mean,
one go
you had to go to Long Island to find out?
And one go Nehe or some sort.
You had to go to Long Island to find that out?
Well, I found it out. I didn't realize it. I found it out.
What did they call, you know what they call goat meat?
What do they call
it? I think they call it chevron, eh?
Really?
Yeah, I think that's what they call it.
I used to call it curry mutton all the
but
time.
There's mutton and mutton.
Mutton and mutton.
Yeah.
Sheep mutton and goat mutton.
Yeah.
But I learned that different. But I'm back. I enjoyed my trip in Long Island. Long Island is one of the best kept secrets. And I believe that the Ministry of Tourism needs to do more for that island in terms of what it offers. They have a rich history. And the history is vast and distinct when you travel throughout the island. Each different settlement has a specific history and a specific culture within it, right? I've learned that all along, Island sound the same. Like, once upon a time on radio, we used to say that we can tell a white Bohemian when they call in. We can hear their distinct accent. To say, okay, that's a white Bohemian speaking now. You can hear the intonation in them. In terms of listening, right? Without seeing them, you say, okay, that's a white Bohemian. But on Long Island, they all have similar accents. Mind you, each settlement may have a distinguished or different verbiage that they use.
Yeah, like in the north, I think in Eleuther, in the north, they drop the H, and in the south, they add it's Habaco and Abaco.
Yeah,
Habaco and Aba Island, right?
Yes, but Abaco has the same... Drop the H and think, but
different parts of the island. Parts.
But you know that Abaco and Spanish Wells tend to trade or intermarry at one point in time, so they share that same lineage and culture too. Mm-hmm. But on Long Island, all sound the same. That they share that same accent throughout. That you cannot distinguish that's a Long Island red, Long Island white, Long Island brown, Long Island, so much different type of Long Islands, Long Island black. But I've learned that there is up south
and down north. You know why?
Some kind of directions with wind and boat and thing.
Because the old culture still exists, right? Has not been lost. The map has been turned upside down.
The map?
Of the world. The map of the globe is upside down.
Who turned it upside down?
So, like in the 1500s, 1600s, some white people, some Europeans said, look, the way things waking, it ain't waking out. So what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to privilege ourselves over others, right? And even the other Europeans like us, because they're a little darker skinned, what we're going to do is we're going to call ourselves white and everything else is going to be black. right? Everybody else is going to be black. We white, they black. And black is lesser than white, obviously. They try to create a hierarchy of power. It gets even more interesting, right? And another part of this sort of the strategy to entrench white supremacy, because the Europeans say, look, we are white and they are not, is that we're going to turn the map upside down so that people think that Europe is at the top of the planet and like Africa is at the bottom of the planet. It turns out Africa's at the top and Europe's at the bottom, right? So old culture, old practice, you go up south, right? You go up that way. So when the maps change, their culture didn't change. So they go up south.
I know.
And they go down north.
Perhaps. I would like to also like to thank my hosts. I had hosts whilst I was in Long Island,
mm-hmm.
Bill and Patrice Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
They took me up and down. I was able to see Dean's Blue Hole.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place called Lochaber. Lochaber Blue Hole. Let's just call it Lochaber. That impressed me more than Dean's Blue Hole, in mind you. Dean's Blue Hole is impressive. Beautiful beach where you go and swim. And then in the middle of the beach, there is some of the deepest, like drop 70, 100 feet and goes, if you follow the tunnel, goes right into the ocean. Mm-hmm. You know, mythical saying that there's a... mermaids and Lusca up and suck people down and whatever it is.
So traditional stories will tell us that the blue holes in the Bahamas are a part of a regional hemispheric network mm-hmm. of tunnels. And that these blue holes, Long Island, Eleuthera, Andrus, North and South, they go straight down and then they take a turn.
Yes.
And you can travel, the belief is that you can travel these blue holes all the way from Andrus, from Bahamas, northern part of the Caribbean basin, all the way down into Central America.
Yes. And there's something called Lochaber, mm-hmm. which is a beach, which is just different. Imagine a regular beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have like maybe half a mile stretch of sand, pink sand or whatever it is. And if you step 2 feet into the water,
mm-hmm.
you just plummet 60 feet deep, 70 feet deep into the ocean for the entire duration of the whole beach.
They get one
that
of the,
freaked me out.
They get one of those in Andrus.
They do? The whole beach is a blue hole?
When you get about 4 feet, 5 feet
even
of
in that,
shallow.
In that. It's like just, 1 feet.
Like of shallow?
Yeah.
And then it's just a massive drop. You see the extreme in the water.
And blue. And I was able to see wild pigs. I didn't know that was such a thing. I
mean, pause. What do you mean you didn't know?
There's no wild pig in Nassau. They're just pigs that could walk up and down and they just cook them. But there's pigs being in the bush in Long Island.
There are boars in Long Island.
I just hear people go, rah, 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 in the bush. I mean, when you're walking early in the morning, you hear them. They're scary.
Yeah, they're wild boars.
Yeah. And they have a lot of mythical creatures in Long Island too.
Now, listen, I saw some of your posts and I thought I did teach you something when you gone down there.
Yeah.
I told you, in Andrus, there's the Chicchani.
Yeah.
But in Long Island, there's the jack-o'-lantern.
I saw the jack-o'-lantern.
And in the same way that the Chicchani is used as a cautionary tale.
There's jack-o'-lantern in the bushes.
Right.
Aaron.
And the story of the jack-o'-lantern is that you don't go out at night.
I saw it at
if
night.
If you don't know where you're going.
There's light and torch. People
because
walking in the
night,
bush.
You follow in the lights to lead you where you're going. But the jack-o'-lantern is a tricky, tricky thing.
Yeah.
And the jack-o'-lantern will use their light to trick you
mm-hmm.
into following their light. Now, there is this cautionary tale. So this one would make me uneasy. In this one, if you follow the jack-o'-lantern, they say you'll end up in Haiti.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I said perhaps that's why no immigrants in Long Island. Perhaps. I mean, that's it. I'm just a coincidence.
Well, the creation of a story like that,
mm-hmm.
and it's, what do you call it, that it's maintained, that it's sustained itself, right? The creation of that story and that it has sustained over the decades and decades and decades suggests that there is a culture perhaps of acrimony or of distrust or of fear of Haitians in Long Island. Now, what we do know is that during the various revolution in Haiti, I think mm-hmm. the main one that freed And after which they said, all people of African descent, if you are not free, make your way to Haiti and you will be free. And that revolution, that mulattoes in Haiti, fearing that they too would become victims of the revolution in the way that the white Europeans and their actors were wiped out, they moved, they fled Haiti. And one of the places that they fled to was Long Island. So perhaps it is this thing, this sort of anecdotal thing that sometimes we joke about, but we're dead serious about, is rooted in a fear. But the fear is of, it comes from a sect, a subset of Haitians who would have moved to Long Island years and years, someone hundreds of years ago. The story has been written.
But let's go to the caller, because we have a number of callers who want to engage us too. And like I said, we have an open line on Monday, and I have one or two things I want to discuss. I want to talk about war rooms and what they're doing and who's responsible. I want to talk about a press release came out by the PLP. I want to read that into the record. I see the director of communications is mentioning something also. But let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, Corey. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
I was holding on my cell phone, but
sorry about
said,
that.
Let me switch. Okay. I am from Eleuthera, the north.
Okay.
And I heard you made a statement that we dropped the H's. Now you're talking about Harbor Island, I guess. But certainly in the bluff where I'm from, we do not drop the H's. So I just thought I would say that, okay?
Okay, but pause. They do drop it in Harbor Island, right?
Yes.
Okay, good
but
stuff.
But I'm not from Harbor Island. I'm from bluff, the mainland.
Yes.
But I'm extreme north, the last settlement north, and certainly we don't drop the H's, okay?
Good. And I appreciate that. And it just shows the dynamics of the various family islands and how each island have their distinct accent.
In fact, in Eleuthera, each settlement has an accent that is distinguishable from the other settlement.
And we must also know or appreciate at a bygone era, there were different people who settled in the Bahamas, different people who settled in various settlements, right? Even in Long Island, even when you see the family trees of these old Scottish and Irish surnames, right? They had plantations and I came across Lord Dunmore's house. And I'm not sure if you know who Lord Dunmore is.
Lord Dunmore. Wasn't he governor in Harbour Island at one point?
No. He was governor of the whole Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he had a place in Harbour Island, his house. And he also had a place. See, when he first came from being a loyalist from the United States, he went to Long Island, apparently, and his house there. And then, of course, he became the governor of the Bahamas, and he had a house in Harbour Island. The ruins there is dilapidated. And I'm saying, I wonder if that should be something that should be preserved.
Of course it should. You ever had Governor's Plum?
No.
No?
What's a Governor's Plum?
Governor's Plum is like if you know the plum you buy in the food store?
Yeah.
That's almost translucent. The flesh is almost see-through.
Yeah.
And it had a little seed in the middle. Mm-hmm. So Governor's Plum is a small, dark purple fruit. The inside is just like the store-bought plum, that type of texture. It has a cluster of small seed in the middle. And the flesh is very sweet, extremely sweet. The skin is bitter, like almost like grape skin, right? And I make a juice from that. I press that for a juice. It's perhaps the richest, one of the most nutrient-dense juices you could produce locally from fruit growing locally. But I could never find the name of the plum, right? It's called Governor's Plum. I said, why is it called Governor's Plum? It must have another name. And so talking to some older people, what I've surmised is it is a plum that a governor brought with them when the governor was relocated from country to country. Mm-hmm. They would bring their whole garden with them, as many fruit trees and plants, food-producing things as possible. And what we surmise is that its name got lost a long time ago, but it was called Governor's Plum because the governor brought it. It was found in the governor's yard.
And that's good to know. And also, in Long Island, they have caves. Now, I'm familiar with caves because you know the cave on West Bay Street. And I thought, that's cute. That should be interesting.
Preacher's Cave in Eleuthera.
But this cave can hold cars. This huge, massive cave systems mm-hmm. in Long Island. Another aspect of our Long Island, I think our Ministry of Tourism needs to capitalize. In Dominican Republic, they have whole bars and discos in their
cave system, yeah.
right? And I'm saying we need to do more with this particular island, even in terms of the roads. Number of the roads there in Long Island are private, which I couldn't understand. Now picture Dean's Blue Hole, right? Mm-hmm. The road to Dean's Blue Hole. This natural phenomenon where people come into that globally to come and experience the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
The road is unpaved. The road is unpaved. It goes like a mile. Picture
is it a public road?
I think it's a private road.
I mean, the government could acquire that like nothing.
Yeah, but there's houses around or whatever it is growing up mm-hmm. to it. But surely to go into something as significant as Dean's Blue Hole, the road should be paved, right? And I was a little concerned about that. They need some kind of partnership with various people there. Say, hey, we could pave a couple of your roads, but you all got to make a donation.
The government needs to acquire the land and pave the road.
Yeah, but acquire the land means they have to pay for the land. I'm not sure if the government can afford to pay for so many different roads.
They could afford to pay for what they want to pay for. They pay for what they want.
Yeah, what they want.
In fact, I got asked a question. Anyway, you know, the point I raised from the earlier discussion, why are BPL board members, administration, and consultants being paid so much money if BPL need $1 billion for things to be things? They find the money when they want to find it. The question is, do they value this sufficiently to do that?
But let's transition. If you want to call and talk about Long Island, I would appreciate entertaining that. But I want to talk about Warren.
Well, no, just before we transition from Long Island, let's say condolences to the family
yes.
of the individual that lost their life in the tragic car accident in Long Island this weekend. Government needs to pave roads.
Governments need to pave roads, again.
I sort of track back to something I said in my hour, which is, do state actors, do politicians, does the government, does the Davis administration, does the prime minister, does the financial secretary, does the minister of finance, does Halkidis, economic affairs minister of state, do they understand and acknowledge that they are governing an archipelago?
Yes.
And that these initiatives are not and should not and cannot be profit-driven initiatives. You don't pave the roads because they generate insufficient profit to pave the roads. You pave the roads because they're roads. You license in people's cars, right? You license in their cars. You're accepting the VAT on the insurance and on everything else. Why do you think you're not obligated to pave the roads?
Yes.
We could go up to... there's a story in Grand Bahama. I didn't pull it today, but the Princess Hotel, the story about buying the property and the road. And the article says, right, like this is a good deal. Maybe we could reduce these $1,500 tickets. And so there's so little activity going on, I guess, in Freeport, that sometimes your one-way ticket, I guess, for Americans flying back into the U.S. could be $1,500.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that, no, these guys, they refuse to acknowledge that they are managing and governing an archipelago. And the vast majority of these essential services cannot and are not profit-driving mechanisms. You have a constitutional obligation to ensure people have access to these things, whether they make a profit or not.
And especially if we plan to use the sites as tourism products or marketing the Bahamas, the access to it should be more easier.
Right, now, let's bring the policy into it. Imagine now that the Tourism Development Fund, which sits separate from the Consolidated Fund, is receiving all of this tourism-related tax and fees and generated income.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that money will not be used to ensure, enhance, pave, prepare, create proper infrastructure for people to be able to actively and effectively work these tourist initiatives.
Yes.
Or tourists could come and be a part of the tourist initiative.
And if we want to be a premier destination, we need to partner with these private enterprises and say, hey, Even if it's a private road.
Oh, no, that's not what I said.
But no, but even if it's a private road, even if it's a private road, I think the government needs to have a duty of care saying, we need access to this. So therefore, we will absorb some of the expense because this is important for the whole Bahamiana. Also, I want to mention that there aren't any stray dog problem in Long Island. I didn't see a dog anywhere. Right? Mm-hmm. And apparently I was making noise with that dog. I say, hey, how come you all don't have the stray dog problem? It's that's something cultural. And they say dog is attack sheep. I said, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Dog is attack sheep. You can't have a stray dog problem.
Right.
Yeah. So we in Nassau have our own issues.
That's what happens when you're forced to take the things that you have to do seriously.
Yeah.
Long Islanders have to take that seriously. That's their survival. Mm-hmm. In Nassau, we don't care.
Yeah. We don't
care.
Stray dogs everywhere.
Everywhere. Women on their cycle menstruating have to travel throughout the country. You don't have public bathrooms.
No place.
And then you don't control the wild dog population.
Yeah, yeah. These things we need to consider. But I'm transitioning now.
Yes, sir.
I want to transition now because we seem to be in political season. We seem to be in political season where there are wanton, reckless war rooms. We know that the PLP has a war room and we have an FNM has a war room, but they share similar cultural deviant behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know who's responsible for guarding, protecting the Bahamian people to manning, policing war rooms, right? And if you don't understand what a war room, these are paid entities, paid people, paid personas who create mischief, who create propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
For the benefit and of the political party.
Mm-hmm.
Each political party has their own.
Or particular actors
or
within
particular
the
actors, right?
Party.
And we see people who have become victims of war rooms. They just create any nasty thing and put it out there and to create mischief. And they have Bahamian people who believe some and Bahamian people say, okay, clearly that's a spin, right? But some of these things are vile. And we now have people in politics who have become victims of slander, right? I think they call it now criminal libel.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, the PLP issued out a statement. I want to read that in the record,
mm-hmm.
right? You have that?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and read that for me.
So this statement was published on the 8th of June, 2024, statement from the Progressive Liberal Party. It has come to the attention of our organization that a number of voice notes are circulating on social media targeting senior members of the party. This behavior is similar to the attacks we experienced prior to our party being elected. Given the advances in technology, we anticipate that these levels of defamatory attacks will increase and worsen as we approach the general election. We want to assure the public and our supporters that we will use every legal tool available and refer any social media attacks to the Royal Bahamas Police Force.
And before you go there, right, I'm not prepared to talk about any conky them conversation at all. That's not the issue here. I'm talking the issue of slanderous and libel statements in a broad sense.
Mm-hmm.
And who should seek retribution if you find yourself victim of slanderous, ill-founded statements that can't be proven.
Is the party responsible for statements made on its behalf by rogue or anonymous actors being members of the party, being
yes.
supporters of the party, or purporting to be supporters of the party? But my first observation when I read this statement was, surely this is supposed to be an internal memo.
What do you mean by that?
Surely the PLP was speaking to its own war rooms. Because the PLP, who are they talking to? When they say, this behavior is similar to the attacks we experienced prior to our party being elected. Oh, it's come to our attention, the attention of our organization, that a number of voice notes are circulating on social media targeting senior members of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the PLP convention?
Yes.
There were a whole slew of voice notes targeting senior members of the PLP party, but they were clearly published by
PLPs
and came from PLP war rooms.
Well, we know the PLP is vicious.
And hold on, and the best part is this. Even if they didn't come from PLPs, even if they didn't come from PLP war rooms, they were shared widely by known PLP operatives.
Mm.
Many of them frontline PLP operatives.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So it's a culture amongst us. And we know that post the FNM's convention, like I said, they are now on pain mode. So the war rooms have been enacted. The PLP war room was never decommissioned. They were working nonstop anyways. But the information that comes out of these war rooms are vicious.
Vile, slanderous, and nasty things.
And Bohemians are thirsty for such. They don't care if it's factual or not. Any ill, nasty thing coming up with anyone on the opposite side, they're willing to share.
Well, it's worse than they don't care. They just accept it as factual because they wish to believe that.
And they spread it and said, I know this is true because my uncle, cousin, auntie knows the person. Mm-hmm. And you said, what's your uncle, cousin, auntie name? Don't worry about their name. But they know the person and they create a whole narrative that they know nothing about. And they swear to God.
You talk about culture, right? PM congratulates Pintard on victory following election drama, 5th of June, 2024. PM Davis congratulated Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard today for his triumph following an, quote, acrimonious, close quotes, leadership contest. Pintard beat former FNM leader Minnis 3-1. I want to read from some of the Prime Minister's commentary. Speaking of drama, quote, this is the Prime Minister, quote, speaking of drama, I'd like to pause for a moment to congratulate the leader of the opposition on his re-election. I'm going to close the quotes right there. Mm-hmm. Such a sophisticated attack. Speaking of drama, dear Prime Minister, it is beneath you. And because we know the line that the Prime Minister must hold, when you start your sentence by speaking of drama, we know that you're throwing shade and you're being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, we also commend the honorable gentleman for having triumphed in what was obviously a very difficult and acrimonious contest. I simply cannot imagine what it must have been like. I can't imagine what it must have been like facing accusations of fraud, voter intimidation, and skullduggery, along with threats of lawsuits and calls to the police. I suppose therein lies another difference between our two parties, close quotes. First of all, Prime Minister.
Is the Prime Minister wrote this?
This is the Prime Minister's quotation from the Prime Minister.
Mind you. I still trying to find out about the insurance and Bamsey and the fire with the former...
Why would you have to go that far back? Let's just look at the PLP convention. And all of the nasty statements that came out from party members purporting to support Mitchell and Davis. The nasty things that were said, the accusations of rigging delegates and rigging procedures, all of these things were raised in the PLP convention. So when I said just now, but you're lying, I will rephrase it respectfully and say that you seem to have no proximity to truth and goodness, sir. Is that how I should say it? To be polite and respectful. And I tell you why I'm so kind of upset about this, right? Because let's rewind back to June 2nd. PLP statement from the Progressive Liberal Party. Pintard holds on to leadership position, but immediately renews doubts with unhinged performance. See, in this public statement, right? They say, he, referencing Pintard, celebrated with a strange, unhinged series of untruths and attacks. I think that was completely inappropriate, considering what's not being...
You don't think that's a political spin?
Considering what's not being printed in the newspaper, but is being promulgated, right, and spread like peanut butter all over social media, are these nasty statements coming directly from the PLP? Because it'd say one of them had PLP official statement and being shared by PLP actors, right? Mm-hmm. And I will make this point before I go on to say what was in it. I will make the point that a senior PLP member quickly removed this commentary from the group that
I was in. Thank the good doctor for doing that.
Right. They acted with integrity and removed it. But there was a very nasty letter penned to Mr. Michael Pintard attacking his presumed issues with mental health.
So long and short, you're suggesting that the PLP is just as bad as the FNM when it comes to slanderous commentary from
right.
voice notes.
And this June 2nd press statement is a part of a broader package of communication coming out of PLP machinery attacking Pintard, attempting to embarrass him, suggesting that he has a mental health issue, that he should talk about it publicly, that it's detrimental to his work and the country, and in such a nasty way, and to do it in Mental Health Month, that I find it incredulous that the PLP released this June 8th statement, that they would dare to threaten people with legal action and it not be an internal memo. First, speak to the actions of your party actors.
But let me explore this thing, and I would walk on eggshells while I explore this, right? And you could guide me too. The PLP memo said a senior PLP official, but they don't want to say who the senior PLP official is or what position that they have.
Mm-hmm.
That sure is intentional. They mm-hmm. want to draw attention to whoever it is, even though the whole Bahamas know who they speaking about for whatever reason it is, mm-hmm. right? We see that the PLP as a entity is saying that they will sue on behalf of the senior officials. But I'm trying to say, if you slander my name as a person, shouldn't I seek retribution as an individual? How is it that the party will seek retribution on my behalf?
Mm-hmm.
And the party was not slandered.
Mm-hmm.
I found that interesting. It seems like of an intimidation type.
Absolutely.
Type
it's like when you threaten people with criminal libel.
Mm.
It's like when you threaten people with criminal libel. Just another quick point, since we're in this sort of sphere. In today's paper, into the Tribune, there is an op-ed under the title Insight. So in the Insight section.
Who wrote it?
The Monitor.
The Tribune?
Yeah. Another anonymous writer. And all we've been talking about, they're addressing the incident that took place 2 weeks ago in the office of the Prime Minister between the financial secretary and the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you use your own name, writer?
Because they're scary and they don't want it to follow back to them. They're willing to slash and burn everybody, hypocritically do it, because they have no integrity. They're not man, or woman, they're not man. They're not man to say, I said.
They're not grown. Let's say, because it's gender neutral. They're not grown enough.
Mm.
They don't have the temerity to put their name behind their words.
Mm.
They say plenty of things on this radio, and I know sometimes I'm going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes not everybody understands the political satire, but it's on the clock with Aaron Green.
Yeah.
You know who is speaking. It's about time we get rid of these anonymous public intellectuals speaking to real people's lives.
Yes.
If you're going to speak to real people's lives, use your name. Now, here's another point. If victimization is real in the Bahamas, speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
Address the culture of victimization that would cause who we assume to be powerful people. Maybe not you, the Monitor, but we know that there are some very powerful people writing under pseudonyms in the country. You have to be brave enough to use your own name, because little poor people being victimized for trying to speak up all the time.
Yeah, and they're using guerrilla tactics of throwing rocks and bottles from the shadows, right? And with using no evidence.
Right.
To support their claims, just be able to slander people's names in the dark.
We cannot accept this in the same way we should not accept Wilson revealing private employment information in the public domain. The two are equal. Well, I think at this moment they're equally bad. Maybe under deeper introspection or investigation, it may be that the pot can call the kettle black. You know that we've been misinterpreting that the whole time?
Go ahead.
It's like the pot calling the kettle black, or the pot calling the kettle black. We say that to say that two are the same thing, but actually they're different. I think it's the kettle stays on the fire the whole time, and the pot come off and on. Yeah, we've been using that incorrectly the whole time, but it's inappropriate, and we should not tolerate it. You cannot be making commentary like this without attaching your name to it. So we ain't going to read from it today.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to read from it.
So we have another caller here, so let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning again, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Morning.
Hey, Mr. Neary, since y'all are talking about articles and quoting on the Tribune, I was wondering if you'd see the story from last week where I think the web shop owner, I think he's an ambassador also, to close down one of his business. I don't know if you call it Apostol or Impostol. That's the one who do the shipping.
Is that Aeropostal?
It wasn't profitable in the Bahamas. Like, it make me feel like he has some other... he have other branches in different countries or different parts of the Caribbean, and they're profitable. I was wondering, like, any idea if you all see the story, if he'd gone into detail to say
why it wasn't profitable.
To have the closet, if we just was hating on him or he just wasn't able to do, because I know he web shop company, that's successful and that's profitable. And did they ever allow us to buy shares? I don't know if it's Island Luck, what they promised it, or one of the web shop. They say we'd give them the rights to. To do the web shop and to be able to buy shares, but that being years ago, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I do remember that, you know. And no, we're not able to buy shares as yet. All the money is theirs.
What's up, May?
But we did vote against it, though, right?
No.
We didn't vote against it?
No.
What did you vote against?
They voted against regulating an industry that existed.
Yeah.
No, not legalizing, regulating.
Yeah.
See, because to regulate means it's already legal. We just want to know
are
if we've
are we regulating it yet?
Yeah, they're regulating
it. We voted against regulating it.
Which is different from voting against it being legalized.
Yeah, but we voted against regulating it. And now it's regulated. We didn't want it regulated.
Right, exactly. Now, that make that point. We didn't want it regulated.
Now it's regulated.
Yeah.
And we voted against it.
No, people voted against legalizing it.
We voted against legalizing it.
The vote called for you to determine whether you wanted it to be regulated or unregulated. Mm-hmm. But people were told and people insisted. I mean, I hear people saying it still, a decade later. I voted against legalizing web shop gaming. No, you voted to regulate or maintain the unregulated industry. That's what the vote was actually for. Mm-hmm. See, but then what happened is the war rooms came out and told the people what they were voting for, as opposed to the government, the state actors responsible, coming out and telling the people what they were voting for.
Okay. Let's go to the caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm not interested in discussing propaganda and personal information, right? But what I'm concerned about as a citizen is the weaponization of the police force and the justice system. I don't know if it's occurring, but it should be frightening for any citizen. But what I want to touch on is the battle between the truth and the lies and the unfreedom of the press. And so we are caught between a rock and a hard place. So I don't know if you guys would, this is not nostalgia here, but would you remember when Jerome Fitzgerald was mixed up in something about disclosing something? Some emails, if you could remember it more intricately than me, right?
The trash can story?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was that? You know, and then as it relates to the pandemic, you know, maybe in the future, because, you know, I am really, really disturbed by the plantation model throughout the, you know, what's going on here. So during the pandemic, we saw a lot of misinformation. It cannot be they can use plausible deniability to deny that they were telling untruths, right?
Right.
Whether it was misinformation, disinformation, but truth be told, lo and behold, we found out that we were given a lot of lies. Now, we helped Mr. Fauci, because I wouldn't call him a doctor like the lady said, right? Testifying before Congress or some summit COVID committee, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I just heard a portion of it. I didn't even want to listen to it because I was upset because the public deserves the truth, which in most people don't understand that lies have to be told in order to keep the public passive and docile. If truth be told, people would form different opinions. So Dr. Fauci, in his profound ego attitude, right, said that he followed the scientific method. He was asked a simple question, if he is a scientist or he follows the scientific method. He said yes.
But in 52, what we'll do is we'll have a show on this all together. I know Aaron's supposed to have a show with
Optimus Group.
And so we could go, Mark Palmer, so we go in detail. But let's take this commercial break now. This is Guardian Radio AM. Numbers are 323-6232, 325-4, 316, 325-4259. And you can call us straight back after this quick commercial break.
Love. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Pen. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, we have an open line Monday. Early on, you're part of the show, Aaron. You receive a text. You receive a text, a critique, actually, saying, hey, man, you need to bring the professionals on and so you can interview. I smiled because I know there are once or twice I've seen you reached out to say, hey, can you all come on to show in general, so you get interrogated.
I've reached out consistently to the director of communication per the new communications policy, right? Per the new press policy that you have to seek permission, you got to reach out to them. I've reached out on multiple occasions and nothing yet, but I just want to share some things with you. Let's go back to that article, BPL grid bidder seeks $30 million Bahamian equity. Multiple Bahamian capital market sources speaking on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly told Tribune Business that Island Grid is seeking to raise a funding mix. Stick a pin. Finish with that article. I want to remind the listening public, do you remember when the chair of the Chamber of Commerce and Employers Federation Energy Committee brought to the public's attention that when she wrote to the new BPL board to address outstanding matters, the response she received was, the new BPL board is not prepared to answer questions put to the old BPL board? You all remember that? And just, I want to give you another reminder. In all of this discussion, you remember the president of the BEWU, the Bahamas Electrical Workers Union, saying that the staff at BPL is in the dark about what's happening at BPL? I'm just saying, they don't want to talk with people who want to ask questions.
I have a text here that says, you clearly asked a question a few minutes ago as to whether or not the PLP war room is as bad as the FNM war room, insinuating that the FNM war room was bad. Bad about what? If you are discussing the PLP press release and mention the FNM party in the same context, then you are suggesting that the FNM are somewhat responsible for the matter covered in the PLP press release.
No. Okay. No. I mean, because when I say that it should have been an internal memo, perhaps I'm suggesting that PLPs may be responsible for whatever matter it is that they are addressing. Because I see PLP actors spreading the most vile foolishness. Now, many people may not think it's profane, right? Many people, a lot of people just say, well, that's how politics is. That's not how politics has to be.
Hmm.
And do we see the implication, do we see how that political culture or that part of the political culture has seeped its way into everything
that
we're doing?
And our mainstream culture now.
Yes.
And I'm concerned about that, that our mainstream culture is becoming ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now accepting this crass behavior and how politicals act towards themselves. But let's go to this caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning to both of you. Can I explain the kettle and the pot?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay. The pot calls the kettle black, and the kettle responds, it is not me that you see, but it's your reflection in me. Because if you look at the pot is black, and it kept the silver kettle polished. So essentially, the pot kept saying, I see you, see how black you is? You see how black you is? And the kettle eventually said, no, it's not me. I'm nice and polished and shine. It's you. You're seeing yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Yeah. Something else I wanted to discuss. Right?
There's plenty story.
There's a number of stories in the news. But go ahead.
Well, just some headlines. Yeah. Maybe you want to pick them up. Maybe you don't. Mitchell hopes work on new parliament begins soon.
Where's the new parliament going to be?
I think it's going to be where the old post office used to be.
That or where the Ministry of Health was. Not Ministry of Health, the Victoria building across from the post office.
Down
you,
there?
You remember they moved the central bank or canceled the central bank construction?
Yeah.
And that was going to be in the Victoria Gardens grounds. And at one point in time, we didn't understand why they canceled, especially when the central bank invested so much monies into prepping for that site.
Let me read the quote from Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell, quote, the land that is allocated is on top of the hill where the old post office used to be.
Ah, okay.
If we are able to do that, it would be a signature building for the Bahamas and for this generation of political leaders. Hold on, pause. Mr. Mitchell, if you need something that's signature for this generation of politicians, you see the little makeshift shed on Cumberland Street where the gentleman sells newspapers and snacks to people who jump over the government house wall when they renovate in government house? That is a suitable signature building for y'all. Put it right there.
But we need to read between the lines. It seems as if the foreign affairs minister is lobbying. He's not saying this is the government's policy or government's decision.
Mm-hmm.
He's using the word if in it. Saying that Parliament, the executive, have yet to decide if they're going to go through with this. But if they can go through this, it'll be something that could be lobbied and heralded as something grand. A lot of could be and would be.
The people still offering Ministry of Foreign Affairs space in their own building on Goodman's Bay?
Yes, they're still offering
them space in their own building.
In their own building.
In Goodman's Bay.
But they can't afford to fix their own building.
Here's another headline.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, man.
Glover Roll workers will absolutely be involved in new pay structure rollout.
This is after they decide that they're going to do the rollout.
Yeah.
That they will be involved in the discussion post.
Yeah.
Right? I'm still trying to understand, will the government employees be paid every 2 weeks, or it'll be a calculation every 2 weeks and they'll be paid at the end of the month still?
Wow. Wow, because I just presumed they would be paid. Everybody just presumed they would be paid every 2 weeks, as opposed to a system that does like attendance and wage calculation every 2 weeks.
Analyze the verbiage of why they said for accountability, and if they calculated it every 2 weeks and then posted on to the end of the month, I can understand why they're doing it. But I didn't appreciate or concluded that it's going to be paid out every 2 weeks, which means there's a cost in banking fees, additional banking fees every 2 weeks instead of one banking fee every month?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I am sure I think I saw some... There is another article here in the Tribune. I got to try and find it. But let's read from this article. And then, so this article is from Friday, 7th of June. Nassau Tribune, Glover Roll, workers will absolutely be involved in new pay structure rollout. Minister of Labor and Public Service assured public workers on Friday that they will, quote, absolutely be involved in the implementation of the new pay structure. I mean, you paying them, so that's how they're involved. She was responding to concerns from Bahamas Union of Teachers President Belinda Wilson and Bahamas Public Service Union, I guess, President Kimsley Ferguson, that unions were not consulted. I wish you would put in there, I wonder if they were speaking in their capacity as leaders of the Third Trade Congress that was recently formed. We talk about that on Thursday. Let's go to today's article. Glover Roll, unions will be engaged in short order over pay changes. After union heads expressed outrage when Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis announced last week that the public service would move to a biweekly pay structure, Labor and Public Service Minister said on Friday that the new structure would be implemented in 2025 and workers will not be ignored. Bahamas Union of Teachers President Belinda Wilson and Kimsley Ferguson said unions were not consulted over the plan.
Pause right there. If they weren't consulted, right, and the government move ahead and made an announcement, surely that is an indictment on the government. Not saying that they will be consulted in the future. The conclusion has already been made. And that's their criticism. They weren't even apprised on that this is where the government is moving toward.
In short order, Mrs. Glover Roll said, the unions will be engaged to be fully involved in the process. The unions will be engaged to be fully involved in the process. As we see them as partners in this process, don't see them as partners. See them as your bosses. Let's change this perspective. They are actually your bosses. And maybe if you see them as your bosses, then you would change the order in which, you know, how you prioritize their participation in the initiative. She goes on to say, but please appreciate the digitization project is still in its building phase.
That's two different topics, though.
Yeah. The Ministry of Finance had a meeting with the unions a few months ago to inform them, introduce them to the project. Stick a pin there. So you remember when I said just a few seconds ago, are Wilson and Ferguson speaking in their capacity as head of the Third Trade Congress that I have somewhere in these 1,000 notes here, right? Is that the capacity in which they were speaking? Because remember the 2021 Memorandum of Understanding that the NCTUB and the other union signed with the PLP while they were in opposition? When you weren't here on Thursday, I asked the question, like, what's the status of the relationships between the unions, the Congresses? What's the status of the labor movement given, A, the signing of the memorandum by the two Congresses without consulting their union membership? The chaos that seems to have unfolded and resulted in the creation of a third trade union Congress, right? And so in this article, when Pia Glover says that the Ministry of Finance had a meeting with the unions a few months ago, which unions? And did you leave out the third Congress? And does that make sense given the reason why they split up? Because these two unions signed a memorandum of understanding with you while you were in opposition.
Interesting. Anyway, we gotta go. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. You have a wonderful day.